Blog Talk Radio.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Hello, David.
Hello, Vincent. Yes, stand by.
All right.
26 through 28, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Siloam Springs Chambers of Commerce cordially invite you to stop on by. There will be a huge selection of collectibles, antiques, and many, many bargain items. So come one, come all to the pick and time on 59, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, September 26th through 28th. For more information, call the Gentry Chamber of Commerce at 736-2358 or the Siloam Springs Chamber of Commerce at 549-8194. We'll see you there. We invite you to join us at the Montanay Baptist Church in Rogers, September 29th at 6 p.m. to hear in concert Ronnie and Mary Lou Warren. Ronnie plays 8 instruments, the most memorable one being the handsaw. Their style is best described as a mixture of classic gospel, bluegrass, and hymns. Come enjoy the playing of instruments and singing. For more information, contact Harold Welch at 479-644-5542. A love offering will be taken.
A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We're broadcasting live on Omega Radio Network. We're broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio. Today is our special Wednesday. What do they call that? Get over the hump day. That's what I think it is today. We're going to be heading out to KIRM Radio in about 1 hour, which is our AM/FM radio broadcast on Wednesdays. You could always tune in if you're somewhere else in the country to KIRM.net. That's www.KIRM.net. And today we have the special blessing of being with our dear friend all the way from Australia. And because it's very late there right now, we do not hesitate in bringing one Daniel Seckham onto the airwaves and saying to him, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. God bless you, my friend. How are you today?
G'day, Pastor Vincent. It's once again, I'm stoked to be with you.
Well, it's great to be with you as well. And Daniel, I'm hoping that right now on Facebook and on YouTube that your voice is coming through loud and clear. If it is not, if you're listening on YouTube or Facebook and you want to hear Daniel Seckham in this conversation as well as the video, dial the number 818-369-0326 and we'll be able to bring you, you'll be able to listen to the entire broadcast. Yesterday was awesome. We had some people call in and it picked it up perfectly. So Daniel, hopefully you are being heard on Facebook and YouTube and definitely on Omega Radio, definitely on Blog Talk Radio. And again, for those that would like to listen, if you cannot hear us on Facebook or YouTube, 818-369-0326. Daniel, a lot going on in the world today. The United States, an impeachment began yesterday, and I'm sure you have some thoughts about that and whatever else the Lord has put on your heart for today. So please, my friend, what do you have to share today?
Well, I think it's it was inevitable. I think that the Democrats moving towards the inquiry into impeachment was the only logical step for them to go because they cannot beat Trump at the polls. They cannot beat him. Their candidates are weak. The best that they've got and the front runner is no longer Joe Biden. It now looks to be Elizabeth Warren. And so they're not overly confident in Warren beating Trump. So this is why they're looking at impeachment. And really, it just basically goes to show that that they would rather veto the will of the American people. They would rather veto the democratic voice of the American people and removing the president by force. Than they do in letting democracy take place and letting the people decide. That just gives you a bit of an idea and a bit of insight into the totalitarian thought process of the Democrat Party. They are no longer Democrat in the truest sense of the word, as in democracy. They don't believe in democracy anymore. They reject democracy in the duly elected president of the United States. They would rather impeach him and get rid of him because they, as each day goes by, the economy gets stronger and stronger. Trump keeps delivering on his promises in making them look worse and worse and worse. So the fact that they're actually going down the road for impeachment just really, if anything, shows just how desperate they are becoming.
Yeah, it actually appears to be such a desperate move. And, you know, doesn't it appear that no matter what the left does, I mean, there just doesn't appear to be any victory for them at all. And, you know, I just remember that, you know, the desperation here, how far will the left go to, you know, to put this election process to an end? Do you foresee in the forecast a little bit of protesting, some violence, some, you know, or do you think it'll just be the you know, the next 4 years of the same old stuff that we saw the first 4 years? What are your thoughts about that?
I think if they really push the impeachment issue, it would really tear the nation apart. If they really push it, because they have got no grounds. I mean, the American people, particularly the Republican base, the people who voted for Trump, they will not fall for it. They see that Trump has been delivering on his promises. They see that Trump has breathed life back into the American economy. they see that Trump has successfully rebuilding the American military. They see Trump bringing jobs back to America. So they see Trump, you know, as being responsible for the Dow Jones Index being above 26,000. In fact, at close of business, the last time I saw it was over 27,000. I mean, the fact that all these indicators, I mean, the GDP is at 4.2% growth. I mean, this is a booming economy, which is in terrific shape, and consumer confidence is soaring. I mean, the Democrats try to imply that recession was on the horizon. That's the biggest load of rubbish you could ever possibly imagine. That was all smokescreen. There is no talk of any recession because there is an abundance of consumer confidence. So their only avenue at this particular moment in time is this impeachment inquiry. Now, what they are trying to do, it's all smoke and mirrors, because they are trying to convince the American public. See, the American public doesn't know the grounds, understand the grounds of impeachment. They don't understand the language between the high crimes and misdemeanors. They trust that they basically are going off what the Democrats are saying. If the Democrats say that Trump is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, then they will simply believe it. They will take it on board uncritically. And that's what the Democrats are hoping for. It's all projection. It's all projection to them. And this is why it is utterly, utterly deplorable behavior with what they are doing. They are just trying to convince the gullible American public, not all of the American public, but the gullible American public, that Trump is somehow guilty and that this inquiry into impeachment is legitimate, when we all know it's not. It's all smoke and mirrors. But this is why, you know, this can only happen to a populist that has been dumbed down. And this didn't happen overnight. This has been decades and decades and decades where the American populace, not all of the American populace, but there is a large part of the American populace that is dumbed down, and they take on board all of this stuff completely uncritically.
So, Daniel, would you say it's fair to surmise that perhaps what we are witnessing right now is another play out of the book, the 10 planks of communism? Or, you know, are these strategies that have been in place for such a long time by the left, by those that would undermine the United States of America as its core value, are we witnessing some of the planks coming out right now? Is this their intended goal? Was it 2020, you know, the visionary year all along, that they have been laboring towards their goals to undermine, to socialize, to communize the United States of America by filling it? I mean, you were the one that taught us that pornography was not just some whimsical fantasy that people had, but a very direct attack upon a society, as is homosexuality. Are you witnessing that they've employed those tactics and now they are feeling or sensing this is their moment, even though they have quite a struggle going on? How would you view that?
Yeah, well, every tactic that they employ is aimed at Christianity. A lot of people don't realize that, and to a certain extent, it never used to be that way. But the more the left infiltrated the Democrat Party, the more anti-Christian they became. And that's what people really need to understand, because the more the Democrat Party was infiltrated by Marxists, the more the Marxists were able to spread their anti-Christian poison. That's the way it has always, always, always been. Now, let me just explain to you the philosophy behind Leninism. Now, this is really let me just read this to you, because the Bolsheviks, which is the Russian party which Lenin was behind, they were social democrats. In other words, the Bolsheviks were basically democratic socialists. That's exactly what they were, in very much the same way that AOC claims to be a democratic socialist. So this is what Lenin said. It says, it is absolute duty of social democrats to make a public statement of their attitude towards religion. Social democracy bases its whole world outlook on scientific socialism, in example, Marxism. The philosophical basis of Marxism, as Marx and Engels critically declared, by the way, this is not Lenin saying this, this is from a writing from a commentator, says the philosophical basis of Marxism, as Marx and Engels repeatedly declared, is dialectical materialism. A materialism which is absolutely atheistic and positively hostile to all religion. Marxism has always regarded all modern religions and churches and each and every religious organization as instruments of bourgeoisie reaction that serve to defend exploitation and to befuddle the working class. Marxism is materialism. As such, it is as relentlessly hostile to religion. We must combat religion. By the way, this is Lenin saying this. This is Lenin saying this. He says, we must combat religion. That is the ABC of all materialism and consequently of Marxism. But Marxism is not a materialism which has stopped at the ABC. Marxism goes further. It says we must know how to combat religion. Very, very interesting. Now, many workers joined the Communist Party. And by the way, this is William Z. Foster. William Z. Foster was the head of the Communist Party USA. And he said this in testimony to Congress. He said this. He said, many workers joined the Communist Party who still have some religious scruples or religious ideas. But a worker who will join the Communist Party, who understands the elementary principles of the Communist Party, must necessarily be in the process of liquidating his religious beliefs. And if he still has any lingerings when he joins the party, he will soon get rid of them. So that was William Z. Foster. He was the head of the Communist Party USA. He was also the author of the book called Towards Soviet America. Towards Soviet America. He was the author of that particular book. So we understand that atheism is at the very heart of democratic socialism. That is essentially exactly what it is. Now, under Lenin, one of the slogans of the Soviet Union was this: we fight against God to snatch believers from him, he says. A prominent slogan of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union was, let us drive out all the capitalists from the earth and God from heaven. Extraordinary, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah, it certainly is. And if you could just go into a little bit more detail, I really feel like someone out there today needs to hear this particular bit of information, that pornography and homosexuality were not, again, just whimsical fantasies in the heart of man. But that whimsical fantasy was actually used or weaponized to bring something within this nation to be able to conquer it. Do you recall bringing that up before? And can you do it again for us here today?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Homosexuality was absolutely pivotal in its introduction to destroy the moral fabric of the United States. There are many different periods throughout the history. I mean, I think the best thing to do would be to go all the way back to a Hungarian communist by the name of Gorgi Lukács. Gorgi Lukács was the one who built upon the writings of Antonio Gramsci, who believed, yes, we need to subvert the nation from within, but he believed that to detach America from all moral anchor points, the best way to do that was to saturate it in sexual immorality. He said, because by saturating these kids in sexual immorality, you move them away from their Christian moral system, away from Christian morality, And the more you move them away from Christian morality, and get them hooked on the on pornography, and if you could even go and get them indoctrinated into homosexuality, if you can get them to accept homosexuality, that would be a major step in dismantling not only Christianity but also the capitalist system. So what you are referring to, Pastor Vincent, was the 45 communist goals that was written into the congressional record by, and this was basically from Cleon Skousen's book, The Naked Communist. So Mr. Herlong basically, let me explain this. Mrs. Patricia Nordman of Deland, Florida, is an ardent, articulate opponent of communism. So basically, this was the at Mrs. Nordman's request, I have made, included in the record, under unanimous consent, the follows current communist goals, which she identifies as an excerpt from The Naked Communist. So this was, these are the 45 stated communist goals. Now, what is interesting is that when you actually look at number 26 of these 45 communist goals. In fact, I might even read from, I'll read from point 24. It says, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and the free press. Number 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, and motion pictures, radio, and TV. Then number 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And oh boy, that is exactly what they have been trying to do. They have been trying to normalize homosexuality as normal, natural, and healthy. Now, let me give you a bit of a timeline in regard to how this has evolved. So, in the 1970s, homosexuality was really promoted as an alternate lifestyle. It was basically, they knew that it was behavioral, but to them it was just an alternate lifestyle, but, you know, and something that could be explored. But what happened was is that during the 1970s and into the 1980s, the Marxists basically infiltrated the leadership positions within the homosexual community. And once the Marxists took hold of the homosexual community, they were the ones to then postulated homosexuality not as a behavior, but as an identity. That is really important to understand because this is what the Marxists had in mind. See, Marxism is all about pitting the haves versus the have-nots, and in the process, harvesting power from the division, okay? Karl Marx, when he wrote the Communist Manifesto with Friedrich Engels, basically he anticipated that the proletariats, who were the blue-collar workers, would eventually rise up against, in a class warfare, against the bourgeoisie, who were the top hat wearing business owners, who were the owners of the means of production. So he believed that that men would fight for their class. But what we saw in the First World War, Karl Marx passed away he died in 1888. But in the aftermath, what happened was in the First World War, many of Marx's followers were left disillusioned because instead of people rising up and fighting for their classes, they fought for their countries because people are more prone to fight for their nation because we have that the whole nationhood is basically inherently built into us to support our nation. So men fought for their country rather than fighting for their classes. So here's what happened. The Marxists of Gramsci and Lukács understood that if they could get homosexuality to be part of, and to convince the homosexuals that homosexuality was not behavioral, but rather it was part of their identity, then they understood that they would fight for their identity. And that was a masterstroke of genius. It was a masterstroke of genius, and they were absolutely right. And this is why we're seeing the LGBT fight hard against conservatives and Christians and push in waging this war, because they are fighting not over what they think is their behavior. They are fighting over their own identity, what they think is their own identity, what they think is who they are as a person. But we all know that this is not true at all, okay? Because the Bible says quite clearly that homosexuality is a behavioral thing. That's why we see in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says that, do you not realize that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he says that homosexual offenders, those who practice homosexuality. So Paul basically makes it very, very clear that homosexuality is something that can be practiced. And then he follows it up by saying, and that is what you once were. So Paul the Apostle implied that there were many back in the Corinthian church community that used to be homosexual, but they were washed, they were transformed through the blood of Jesus, and they were sanctified, and they were set apart. So see, the left tries to imply that homosexuality is part of one's identity, and they know very well that people would fight over their identity, but they won't fight for their class. And I think that was a very ingenious strategy for them to implement, and we're still seeing that being worked out today. The LGBT is pretty much the most important tool in the leftist toolbox in fighting against Christianity and capitalism, because their catch cry is to smash the patriarchy. How do you smash the patriarchy? By going all out war against heteronormativity, that is to destroy the idea that man is created for woman and woman is for man. And it really is an assault on God's created order that we see in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And so homosexuality is absolutely key. And not only that, but homosexuality confronts the two very institutions that are holding back a socialist revolution. And that's the institution of the church and the institution of the family. If they can destroy and dismantle the institution of the family, then people won't be leaning on their family. They won't look to their family for support. They would look to the government for support. If they can destroy the church, then people won't look to the church and they won't look to Christianity for moral values. They would look to the state for moral values. And that's what they want. That's why when you look at China is declaring an all-out cultural war against Christianity. In fact, they are telling churches to remove the Ten Commandments and to replace the Ten Commandments with quotes from Xi, their president. So that's what they're doing. They even are cleansing classic children's stories such as Robinson Crusoe, and they are removing all mentions of Christianity, all mentioning of Jesus. They are cleansing out of it. Why are they doing that? Because Christianity is their major competition. It's their number one competition. This is why they are at war against Christianity. They have to destroy it by any and every means possible, because the moment they can do that, if they can be successful in doing that, they will get a populace that will be completely reliant and compliant on the government.
Wow. Take away all of their protections, and you have a naked people that are ready for slavery, right? So what
Correct.
We're talking about today, yeah, so what we're talking about here for just a moment is the purposeful intention of the socialistic left, the Democratic Party that has been infiltrated by far-left socialists and communists, to implement pornography and homosexuality by promoting them to such a degree that they become tolerable and acceptable within society. But the scientific reality behind that social engineering is to strip the people of their moral anchor and to detach them, as you said, very well. So I want to ask you this question now. And I just felt that was so important for people to really understand and to think that these things had been written in the manifestos and that type of thing. And they have implemented those plans. They put them to work and they're actually happening should be a wake up call to everybody. But let me ask you this, Daniel. When I go out on Kerm Radio, when I get behind a pulpit, when you get out there, when thousands of God's men and women get out there, and right now, the whole thing, the huge issue in the United States of America to many people is the impeachment process or the attempt by the left to impeach President Donald J. Trump. And what I wanted to ask you, and I'm asking because I really want to learn something here, I would like to know if one like myself, in the platform that God has granted, is to stand in defense of the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, what I want to know is, first of all, if I'm going to defend him, what do they, and I'm referring now to the left, the people that want to impeach him, you know, all the rhetoric we see across the country, what do they hate the most about this president that I need to be aware of so that I could defend against their hatred? Do they have a reasonable cause to hate him for particular things that are contrary to the Constitution or to this nation?
There's no particular one thing. I'll say it's multiple things. Okay? So the very first thing is the fact that they are still absolutely livid that he won the election in 2016. They are absolutely so enraged by that because they believed for months and months that they were going to get a shiny red bicycle for Christmas, and when election day finally came, instead of getting that shiny red bike for Christmas, they got a lump of coal. So as you can imagine, they are absolutely livid with that, and this is why they are persisting with their resist campaign in resisting Trump. The other reason why they hate him is because he used to be one of them. He actually used to be a liberal, okay? And he has turned full conservative. I wouldn't say full conservative, but for the most part, he has embraced conservative values. He ran as a Republican, and that incensed the left because the left thought that he was one of them. I mean, many of the leftist figures who spout so much hatred towards Trump, they were part of his pool parties. They would attend Trump's pool parties. They were there side by side with him. You just Google their names alongside with Trump, and you'll see photos of them, including Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was friends with Donald Trump before all this came out. And remember, Donald Trump was never known as a racist until he was made president, which I think is hilarious. So they hate the fact that he was also one of them and he came out as a conservative and is a champion for conservative values. So they absolutely detest that. Now, here's the third reason. The third reason is because what he is actually coming good on his promises, and more than that, he is running rings around Obama's legacy. He is doing such a great job that he's making Obama look bad. And again, the left hate that. They hate the fact because Obama, to them, is like a god. He's like a demigod to the left. So for Trump to make Obama look bad, I'm telling you, it's like a cardinal sin. They cannot bring themselves to acknowledge that Trump is a better president than Barack Obama. They are livid by that particular idea. And so this is why, for those three particular reasons, they are waging war against Trump. And they will not stop until they remove him. And that tells you everything you need to know about just how totalitarian their true intentions are.
All right. So I had some thoughts as well. So those are the three powerful reasons you're giving why they hate him. And I've written down here the obvious things like, number one, he wants to protect our borders. Number two, he wants to protect
yes.
babies in the womb of their mothers. Number three,
yes.
he wants to clean the country of illegal aliens. Number four, his favoritism of Christianity. And then I got into the removal of leftist judges. Do all of those kind of combine to make, a presentable case? Is this true?
Yes.
Along with what you just said?
Yes. And look at the Ninth Circuit as well with what he's done. He's basically reinstated conservative judges and balancing out the Ninth Circuit. So he's really sticking his thumb into the eye of the left big time. You know, the fact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is probably, gosh, I wouldn't even give her a year. I mean, it's just a matter of time. She could very well die in the news within the next month or so. And
sure.
all of a sudden, we would have another scenario with what Kavanaugh went through. We'd have a Kavanaugh part two with whoever the conservative Supreme Court justice would be that he would nominate. So, absolutely. The fact that he is stacking the Supreme Court in favor of conservatives, that he has rebalanced the Ninth Circuit with conservative judges, the fact that he is rebuilding America's military, the fact that he is calling out China for taking advantage of the United States, and not just China, but other countries that were taking advantage of the United States. He's standing up to them. You know, this is why Kim Jong-un had a gigantic tantrum, because Obama kept appeasing. Clinton, Obama, even the Bushes appeased Kim Jong-il. And Trump is standing up to him. He will not take it any longer. Trump is not going to continue to kick the can further down the road. Trump is taking a stand, and this is what his base absolutely loves about him, the fact that he is actually taking a stand. And the other thing that infuriates the left is that Trump cannot be bought. He can't be bought. He's a multi-billionaire, so people can't bribe him with money. So the only thing that motivates Trump is being faithful of his promises to the American people. And I also believe, too, Pastor Vincent, that as the years gone by, ever since Trump has been sworn into office, I believe that there has been a softening in his heart towards Christianity. And this is why I believe he has become unapologetic in his stand for Christianity. You know, just yesterday, Trump delivered a remarkable speech at the United Nations in a defense of religious freedom, in which Trump unapologetically took a stand for religious freedom, and I think he's injecting $45 million into the cause of promoting religious freedom around the world. I mean, I think that is a worthy cause, rather than the ridiculous hype over Greta Thunberg and this fake climate hysteria, this doom and gloom scenario, which is absolutely ridiculous, whereas Trump is talking about the legitimate problem of religious liberty under threat, and he's taking a stand for religious liberty. He is one of the very few presidents where he literally does genuinely care about the Constitution and will defend the Constitution, and who's one of the very few people who actually genuinely loves America. He really does love America, and he loves the American people. So I think these are the reasons why the left hate him so much, and why I believe Trump will once again get another 4 years in office.
Well, absolutely. We would hope for something like that. Unless the Lord wants to return, we'd be very happy about that. So the end game, the final goal of this socialistic agenda, this communistic agenda in the United States, which many of their plans have gone forward, they've implemented all of their strategies. The end game is to collapse the country. Is that collapse of the United States of America having to deal with some spiritual issues? I mean, are we going to witness a America collapsing because, like the Assyrians that came against Israel thousands of years ago, God just allowed it to happen because of our collective sin? Or is it still, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land? Where are we at from your perspective?
Well, I believe that what the Democrats want to do is to implement the Cloward Piven strategy. What the Cloward Piven strategy is, it's a political strategy outlined in 1966 by American sociologists and political activists Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven, that called for overloading the United States public welfare system in order to participate a crisis that would lead to a replacement of the welfare system with a socialist system of a guaranteed annual income that and thus end to their, they basically see this as a means to end poverty by forcing, overloading the American welfare system and basically essentially crashing it and forcing it to be replaced by a socialist system. So I believe that's one of the things they want to do, is to overload the system. That is a very, very key strategy. They want to get as many people as they possibly can on welfare. They want to get as many people as they possibly can to be dependent upon the government. And in doing so, they will force the American economy and the government to become more and more socialistic. So that's what they want to do, and again they want to and here's the thing, and this is why I believe it will, if there isn't a revival in the immediate sense, if there isn't a revival, then America will keep going down the same trajectory, and trajectory is not good. So they already have captured the three biggest megaphones of society. So the three biggest megaphones is the media, the mainstream media. So the left have captured media. The second biggest megaphone is Hollywood. So they have already captured Hollywood. And the third biggest megaphone that they have is academia. That's a big one, because it's through academia that they capture all the other schools, such as the schools of journalism, the sciences, and not only that, but they also capture the future political leaders, those who are going to study political science. They also capture the, you name it, in regard to the different field, and the left have captured it because they've captured the universities. And so whether it be someone studying law, because the law schools have been completely captured by the left, that means that every attorney, every lawyer that is trained from a leftist perspective. This includes leftist judges, because the judges have been completely indoctrinated by the left. This is why they give lenient sentences, because they have empathy, more empathy for the criminals. This is what we're seeing happening. Oh my gosh! I'm not sure if you saw the news coming out of San Francisco, but what's happening in San Francisco is that the city officials are trying to become more empathetic to convicted felons, and are redefining words for, let me just read it to you. So they're rebranding convicted felons as justice involved persons. Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, it's absolutely scandalous, but this is what's happening. Because the left dominated the universities and the education institutions, they basically get to shape all of society, whether it be from law, whether it be to the teachers themselves, education and the teachers, whether it be journalists, whether it be scientists who basically have become so corrupted that they are going along with this whole ridiculous idea of climate change, in which the world is going to be irreversible to change in 12 years. So the corruption has permeated pretty much all of society. This is what they've done, because they knew very, very early on that if they were to capture America, they would need to capture the schools. The schools were the number one thing that needed to be captured. And so they were very successful in doing that. And now America is, the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and that was so well said. If this same power, strategy, propaganda that we're witnessing in the United States of America today were employed against other nations, they would have long ago fallen. But because America is house to Christians, believers, Jews, we have thus far stood. And so what I'm looking at is through the social engineering, the social experimentation, it's as though there's a great experiment going on in the United States as to whether or not they will be able to stand against this onslaught. Will their spirituality, namely in faith in Jesus Christ, enable them to stand? But if they can get them to succumb to the temptations, then probably, Daniel, would you admit that any other nation on the face of the earth that had such a hostile attack against it would have long ago fallen?
Yes. Yes, I would definitely say that. In fact, I'm just trying to remember who it was. There was a historian who basically said that the length of the every great civilization in history was approximately 300 years. Here it is. Here, of the 22 civilizations that have appeared in history, 19 of them collapsed when they reached the moral state that the United States is in now. Isn't that very telling?
Absolutely.
So that was Arnold Joseph Toynbee who actually said that. And I think that he is absolutely right. And this is the thing. People don't realize that the United States of America is the greatest nation that has ever appeared on the face of the earth. It's the great Western civilization is the greatest civilization that has ever appeared on the face of the earth. And out of Western civilization, the United States of America is the greatest nation that has ever emerged on planet Earth. And now, and to put that into contrast, it leaves the Roman Empire in the shade, big time, big, big time. In fact, Thomas Sowell said that the United States as a whole is larger than the Roman Empire at its greatest expansion. So people need to think of that in perspective. And this is why the America's enemies are so determined. They are so focused. They are so disciplined in bringing the United States of America down. And a lot of people don't realize what that really means, what the implications of that are, which are massive. Because, you know, I believe that what Trevor Loudon says is correct. If America goes down, we all go down. Ronald Reagan was correct when he said, if we lose our freedom here, there's no other place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. He was absolutely correct. And this is why there's so much emphasis on bringing America down.
Daniel, did you sense, you know, so far today's the third day of the United Nations or the UN meetings, Did you sense a hostility from the UN towards the United States President Donald J. Trump and his message, or did you sense a coming together with them? How do you perceive the United Nations, which is housed to the Islamic bloc and to every nation on the face of the earth? What is their attitude right now towards the U.S. from your perspective?
I think it's all tokenism. I think they basically took on Trump's speech on religious freedom as purely tokenism. They really didn't take it very seriously at all. And the reason is because the United Nations is completely dominated by the OIC, which is the Organization of Islamic Conference. It's pretty much dominated by Islam. The other powerful bloc that has influence within the United Nations is the communist bloc. So this is a group of communist countries, communist socialist companies that network together and work together against the United States and Israel, incidentally. This is why Israel has so many resolutions against it. So I believe that it was basically token acceptance of what Trump said, and they take it with a grain of salt, which is absolutely tragic. I don't believe that they will be serious in taking it on board, because for many of the countries in the United Nations, religious freedom is something that they reject, because it actually threatens their government. Many, many governments actually threaten the idea of religious freedom. So that's why they are not really compliant toward it.
Okay. So I want to do a little bit more research on who the OIC is and who the communist bloc is in the United Nations, particularly if they're running things. That's kind of that's shaking me about Revelation 13, that the dragon gave the beast his power, seat, and authority. And I'm wondering if it has something to do with this. I think it does. But on a final note, before we get ready to wind down the broadcast today, obviously we're hearing about a possible intervention with Iran. We've heard this before. There's been talk before about Iran, but it really does seem that there are some focused laser beams moving in that direction. What do you perceive in that situation?
Well, I think the entire Middle East is basically sitting under a Damocles sword. So there's a sword dangling over the Middle East at the moment, and it's hanging by the thread of a horsehair. The Middle East could go off at any particular moment. It's how highly strung it is. You know, there are tens of thousands of missiles. They're actually, at this particular moment in time, pointed at Israel. I don't believe that Israel's Iron Dome would be able to even put up a defense to over 10,000 missiles raining down on the country at the same time. I don't believe that they will be able to do that. Some might be shocked for me in saying that, but I believe that when the end times is kicked off and the nations of the earth rally against Israel. I believe by this stage, the influence of the United States will be annulled. And in normal circumstances, Israel will turn to the United States for support. And what happened in Yom Kippur, and not just Yom Kippur, but also as we saw in the War of Independence and in the Six-Day War, as well as Yom Kippur. But America won't be there. And I believe that the time will come when Israel is going to be surrounded by her enemies, and she'll have nobody to cry out to except God himself. Now, that's getting back to Iran. Iran is becoming increasingly belligerent. And Iran is extremely dangerous because of their belief in apocalyptic Islam. They believe that they can bring about the appearance of their Mahdi. Now, when I say Mahdi, I'm talking about Arabic for their leader, their messianic figure. The Iranians also refer to him as the 12th Imam. They believe that they can actually bring about his appearance through a scenario of bloodshed, chaos, and war. Bloodshed, chaos, and war. And they believe they can force that scenario by launching an attack or engaging in war. And so this is why they are so incredibly dangerous. They never honor on their bargains or their whatever the agreements they agree to. They don't value it. They break it because the Quran actually says that you cannot honor a contract with the kafir, with the infidels. So this is why whenever Muslims enter into an agreement with a infidel nation, then they have to break it. They are not allowed to honor that contract. They have to break it. That's why Hamas always breaks the ceasefire, because they cannot honor a ceasefire with Israel. They have to break it. And so this is the conundrum in which the West finds itself in.
Mm. All right, very good. And we know, you know, something like that, you would imagine that the greater countries of Russia and China would get involved. And we know that biblically there are prophecies about this World War III. And again, we're just kind of watching and looking and seeing things on the radar. Let's shift for just a few moments. October 13th to October 20th, we will be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles in the midst of all of this other stuff going on. What a great opportunity to gather together and to celebrate this great feast, Daniel. And I know it will be celebrated all over the world, but maybe this is a time where God will begin to release some divine end time strategies to his people and to encourage his people to gather together to celebrate him. We're so glad that you are coming all the way from Australia again for 8 full days. We're going to captivate you as you bring the Tim Tams. That's a secret agent thing that we got to get intact. But are you excited about coming back to the United States and being in Northwest Arkansas for the Feast of Tabernacles?
Yeah, very much so. The Lord always has things in store in regard to work for me to do there. So I'm looking very much forward to coming and speaking. Lord's already stirring some things in my spirit in regards to what to say. Very much looking forward to my time in Northwest Arkansas. After Northwest Arkansas, I'll also then be back in East Texas as well. So I'll be spending a little bit of time in East Texas and then I'll be back home. So I won't be spending as long as the time that I was there 4 weeks ago now. I think it was three, four weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't be as long as that, but I'll probably be spending about maybe 2, at the most 3 weeks. So, but looking forward to it. Can't wait to see all my friends again.
And we can't wait to see you, Daniel. Brilliant conversation today. We need to let you get back to some rest. I want to thank you, dear brother, for joining me on the air and answering the tough questions. We are really wanting to learn, and we need to be so equipped. And I know that your entire ministry is about not just imparting information, but equipping those that really are being moved and called into this cultural end time spiritual battle that is raging all over the world. So thank you, and may God sharpen your sword and continue to impart wherever you can on platforms like these. And, of course, your own. And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Daniel, they want to find out more about your ministry, how would they do that? What's the best way?
Well, you can go to danielsackham.com. I write there occasionally. I need to be more regular in what I write. You can go to danielsackham.com. You can also go to Israel, Islam, and End Times, which is basically an aggregated news website. I post different news articles in regard to what's going on in the world and in regard to those three things. But then I also have culturewarresource.com, which is all a website that's dedicated with what's going on in the culture wars. So you can check out those three websites. It might be better for people to actually go to the Facebook pages. I'm very active on Facebook. So they can actually go to Israel, Islam, and End Times on the Facebook page or Cultural War Resources Facebook page and check that out, because I post a fair bit there. So that's probably the best way that how they can do that.
Excellent. Awesome. All right, my dear friend, we'll make sure we continue to post that. Make sure you send us some good photographs and a little bio on your time coming here. People are going to want to be interested. They're going to want to hear what you have to say. So, Daniel, thank you for joining me. Get back to rest. God bless you. I know it's around 1 o'clock in the morning right now where you are. Is that correct?
Yes.
1 o'clock. Man, oh, man. Go to sleep. All right. God bless you. Shalom.
Excellent. Awesome. All right, my dear friend, we'll make sure we can